Love can never grow in isolation. We need to be loved. And we need to love people. And everybody that's in isolation cannot experience love. As soon as any member of society cuts him or herself off from everybody else, they'll die a slow death. They'll die a slow emotional death. And what's worse is the fact that you can sit inside of a church and you cannot experience love. Now that's really painful. When you sit inside of a building with believers worshiping, but you're not the one that can experience love. What's worse is when you're in a marriage and all that you feel is hell. You don't feel loved. You don't feel cherished. You don't feel precious. What's even worse, if you're a child, you're never asked to be there, and you're in a home where everybody treats you with disrespect and contempt. What's even worse, if your parents must throw you away and you grow up in an orphanage, and then the world expects a child like that to be loved. Or husband and wife, they quarrel, and all that she expects from him, am I number one in your heart? The fact that I want to follow God's voice, is it important to you? And then all that she sees in his eyes is no love. Now, if Christ came like the song says with the nail-pierced hands, if he came to portray that love to us, there must be a way that we can portray that love to others. That is what I want to talk about. Us within the church. Love. And so Jesus says, in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I'm going to read it again. Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I've loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's a powerful statement that Jesus makes. And what's powerful about this statement for me, it's not a suggestion. Jesus doesn't say, I suggest that you love one another. Jesus doesn't say, okay, maybe if you feel like it, then you can love one another. First have a braai, then you see if you like one another. Now first drink a few doppa, then you see if you're connecting with one another. Jesus doesn't say anything like that. Jesus says, I command you. Now that's a problem for a lot of Christians. Because Jesus would look them in the eye and Jesus would tell them, I command you to love your wife. I command you to love your brothers and sisters. And that there is the way that God wants us to see church. That's church. Because church is about disciple making. And Jesus says, if you can't attain to that standard, then we don't have church. We don't have church. Then it's a gathering of only people that love themselves. But I can tell you this, it is not a church. And that is why God would tell to the husbands, look, you better love your wives as I love the church. You read that in Ephesians. Jesus seems very extreme when it comes to stuff like this, eh? Does it bother you that he says, I command you to love somebody? Does it upset you? I can pick anybody here and just ask you, is there anybody this day that you don't like? Oh, the answers that you will be giving me. Kan julle so my draaitjie vat en sê, ek sê vir my oor, van wie hou jy nie? In church. Tell me, who irritates the hell out of you in church? Tell me, who makes it difficult for you to love him or her? Jesus says, I command you to love. But now, the command is one thing. It's a challenging command. But what's what Jesus says after that? As I have loved you. Now that's difficult. It's one thing to love somebody as Jesus commands you, but the way he says, the way I love you, that same love, I want you to portray to your brother. Now, we won't say amen to that. I'll tell you why. We can't say amen to that. It's not that we don't want to say amen. It's just, we cannot say amen to that. Because the standard of God's love, the nail-pierced hands, the cross, for everybody, from the rapist till the murderer, he does it for everybody. He does it for them. And then he says, now you must love one another in that way. Ooh, it's a toughie. And we need to talk about that. Because that is the way that God sees church. So, Jesus then says, now if you love one another, and if you love one another the way that I've loved you, then people will know that you are my disciples. Before that, I don't know what people will think of you, but I can tell you this, they won't see you as my disciples. But when you get that right, they'll see you as my disciples. The flu doesn't want to leave me, but I command it to leave me. So, why the church are commanded to love, number one, we're going to look at that this evening. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. You can only love somebody if you realize that God loves you. You can only love somebody if you realize that God loves you. Now, a lot of people will say, that's baloney, Carlos. It can't be true. I love my wife. And then all that I will tell you is, you know what love are you talking about? You're talking about the Usher love and the Michael Jackson love, you know? You know that type of love in songs? You know that love that we sing about in songs? Leave this leakies. Macy. Baby chocolates. That type of love. You know? That's not the love that God is talking about here. It's the love where you need to love somebody the way he has loved you. It's not a love song love. So a lot of husbands try to love their wives with a love that they've heard of in a song. Jy het dit geweet. Meeste mans probeer dit doen. A lot of husbands try to love their wives like that love that they read of in a poem, or they hear the song and then they think, oh, I want to do this to my wife. You know? Marvin Gaye, let's get it on, you know? For those you know the song. Some of you don't know it. But you know, that's not the love that Christ is talking about. And what Jesus is saying is that love, John is saying love is an expression of a church worship. In other words, you can only love somebody if you know how to worship God. In other words, only Jesus can teach you and show you how to love your wife or how to love people in church. Nobody else can show you that. Did you know that? That is why Jesus' standard of love is unattainable. You can't attain it out of yourself, but you can attain it if you spend time with Jesus. So the first answer that I'm giving you to this difficult conundrum of love is this. You must know Jesus and you must spend enough time with him so that he can show you how to love other people. That will show people an expression of who you worship and how you worship. If you worship yourself, guess what? Who you're going to love? If you worship an object, guess what you're going to love? A lot of people marry for money because they worship money and they love money. They never love their partner. They love the material stuff. If you worship yourself, many times when I've talked to people that worship themselves, they actually love lust more than the person themselves. We're talking about love. It's not those American movies, The Love Doctor. We're not talking that type of love. The Love Doctor. Jy weet, of sake van die hart. Wie het in huisgenoot altyd daai gelees? Dokter, wie is hy was dit weer? Dokter, wat was hy? Dokter Marie, ne? Was my so'n rubriekie wat hulle sê, skryf jou briefie. Sy het my gelos op die winkelse stoep met 2 stokkie lekkers. Ek leen nou al vir weke in die kooi. Dan skryf hy nou vir David. Ek praat nie van daai liefde nie. I'm talking about the love that we must understand as God's understand it. So, love is an expression of your worship. All that I want to say here is, you can only love somebody if you spend enough time with God. The second thing, dear friends, now just watch what John says. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now say, "Ivi dieselfde ding." Now it's upsetting when these guys, to me, it upsets me when they say stuff that I know I cannot do. I can't do that. But what is John saying? I've talked with so many Christians, so many of them. And then I talk to them about going to small group and making friends. Then the first thing that they tell me is, you know, I must trust people and then it must take a while for me to trust people and then I'm going to talk to them and then we're first going to go to the mall for coffee, and then all that I'm seeing is what this scripture is saying. Scripture teaches you must initiate love. If you want to be loved, you must be the first one to give love away. That's what scripture says. Just the way God did it with us. God loved us when we were horrible and terrible. Punt. He loved you. And scripture says, just the way he did it, you must do it. You must love other people. Again, it's not a suggestion. Ek sê altyd vir die ouens, if you want a friend, you must be a friend. If you want love, you must give away love. Because scripture says, though, we must initiate love for others in our Father's house. We're talking about church this evening. You can't sit there and look at other people and think, well, yeah, that's what I feel and think of you within my heart. Get up, spend time with God, come back next week and love that person. You must initiate it. It must come from you. Don't wait for other people to love you. In this world, you're going to wait quite a long time. Jy gaat so wag, hulle gaat so verby jou loop, and you're going to get more despondent, you're going to get more angry. Why doesn't anybody love me? They all walk past me. Well, what must you do? Love other people. Get into the right mode of worship and love other people. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know what Peter is saying? Peter is saying, look here, if you spend enough time with God and you love on your brother, you maintain fellowship. It doesn't matter what he does, because fellowship is important in maintaining it within church. We're talking about church life. We're talking about working through the offense. We're talking about talking with people. We're talking about maintaining that deep intimacy. Because if we maintain a deep intimacy with one another in talking to one another, and you know what this does? This annihilates cliques. It clicks, clicky, clicky. A kukulu kuk net me divete ken. You know? I only operate with those that I like. I only hang around those who I want to hang around. That's not biblical church. It's not church. That's not church, ladies and gentlemen. Not as scripture defines church. The Apostle Peter said there's a deep intimacy. Because there's multitudes of things that can go wrong in any person's lives. But love will cover that. Christ-like love. Do you see it? Can I get an amen cry? First, can I get an English amen? Amen. And an Afrikaans, you can amen. So, I can't, you know, there's only one Angus. Now, you must experience this when Angus says in the mighty man, amen. En 70,000 man sê, oh jylle, daar kan hulle maar die kerk los hoor. Net vir die, amen, kerk is klaar. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. I'm just talking to you about what scripture says about love. A friend loves at all times, not sometimes. Just watch there. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for the time of adversity. Love is sacrificial, ladies and gentlemen. You give up. You give up your rights to yourself. You give up all your rights in worshiping yourself, and you sacrificially love people. Now this, I'm going to be really honest with you. I've spoken to Chris about this. But for the Afrikaner community, it's really difficult. It's really difficult. Because usually in Afrikaner community, we for ourselves. You mind your own business. In other cultures, it's much easier. Because it's a communal culture. Verstaan julle? We live around together. We braai together. Jy weet, ons vra mjalkie. Oor gie mjalkie? Ja, is julle suiker? We do that thing. But in other cultures, just everybody minds their own business. So it's really difficult for some people to understand this. But now where it really gets difficult, I'm talking about church now. When it comes to church, it's really difficult to do it cross-culturally. I can just look at you as you're sitting here, then I can just say, clicks, clicks, clicks. They're usually together, they're usually together, they're usually together. Okay, they sit usually together. They sit together, you know. They can also take the guys in view, word by my car. And you can also see who's the Lone Rangers. It's not, no, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everybody that sits alone is a Lone Ranger. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Otherwise, my wife would also be. But she's not. But you can also see who operates alone. Isn't it interesting? Just check out how people sit every Sunday. And you get your hellas of here, let's homies. They're connected. You know? I'm talking about church this evening. I'm talking about the way God wants people outside there to perceive church. And what we represent to people outside is exactly what they experience of church. And I'm trusting God this evening to change that. It's a tough ask, but I've been praying about this. Almal en ek ons bid oor. The same with the message this morning, the one about divine order. It's a tough ask, the sermon that Marshall just brought this morning. It's a tough ask, but we must start within the church. John chapter 13 verse 35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Love within the church speaks as a witness to the world. So when the world looks at us, they must be able to see, this is church, I want that. It's the story of the book of Acts. Everybody wanted to be part of the church. And Amal was lekker bang. Because they know when you mess with those people, if you mess with that type of love, you drop dead. Like Ananias and Sapphira. When you mess with that love, you will drop dead. And then everybody hears about it. And then everybody is scared. But everybody wants to be part of it. But at the same time, it's the fear of the Lord, you know. So, what's the challenge of the church while manifesting this love? Just watch what Jesus says in that same discourse. This is my command. Love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you. Can I tell you a secret? Because you love Jesus, people will hate you. Make a peace with that. I don't know if anybody have ever told you that. But as soon as you want to follow what Jesus says you must do for your life, people will hate you. They will hate you. Now, you know what's funny? As I've prayed through this, most of the time that the people that will hate you is in church. Because they're not the ones that are wanting to follow Jesus. And so it becomes really scary when you're married and you want to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ and the one part that doesn't understand God's will. And you get persecution from the one you need the love most from. Pratik, now the deep. We're talking about the love of Christ. We're talking about the love of Jesus. But I want to say this to you. Make a peace with the fact that there's an atmosphere of hate within which we need to witness. Scripture teaches that. There's an atmosphere of hate. Everybody always hates the Christians. Nobody wants to do anything about the Muslims. But as soon as us Christians open up our mouths, everybody hates us. The Muslims, they can do what they want to do. Everybody's scared of them. The Buddhists with their orange outfits, you know, with the kralikis, they can do what they want to do. But as soon as we say the name of Jesus, we're not allowed to say the name of Jesus. You're not allowed to say the name of Jesus. You're not allowed to baptize people. You're not allowed to speak in tongues. You're not allowed to heal people. I'm sick and tired of it. But I'll tell you, Scripture taught me people will hate me because I follow Jesus, and they must hate me. I love them. We make war because of love. Muslims and other religions, they make war out of hate. They hate us, so they want to take us out. We love them because we want them in. Can I get an amen? That is what God expects from us. So there's a lot of people that will hate you. There's a loyalty to God that separates us from the world. A worldly way of love and a worldly way of thinking, it doesn't belong within the church of Jesus Christ. A love way and a love way of thinking about other people that belongs here. That's why Jesus says the violent takes the kingdom by force. Jy kan nie draadsitter nou meer wees nie. Scripture teaches that there's no place for cowards within the kingdom of God. We make a choice about who we love, and then we love him. And then he says, I loved you. From the beginning, I've loved you like that. But God doesn't want us to make a war out of hate. God wants us to make war out of love. In other words, if you disrespect and attack the sanctity of my marriage because of my love for my children, I'll take you out. Not out of hate, because of a love. Are you with me? Does it make sense? I'm talking about a side of love that we never hear of, because preachers don't preach about it. And we don't say that in marriage, sometimes my wife thinks worldly and I think godly. That happens within marriage, and it's a huge argument when one thinks the way of the world and the other one thinks the way of love. Are you with me? It happens. It happens in church. It happens with believers. So, the vision of the church while demonstrating this love, the vision. Jesus prays in chapter 17, and Jesus says, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me. Jesus is praying to God, and his disciples are standing there, and Jesus says, Look here, I know you, and they know, my disciples know that you've sent me. Then Jesus says, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. God has given the church the capacity to love. God has given the church the capacity to love because Jesus prayed it. Jesus says, it's cool. I know you. I've given my word to them, and I want them to connect with you just the way that they connect with me. They will connect with you, and the way we connect, they will connect. Jesus prayed it. So he has given us that capacity. If you can go to the next slide. God has given us the capacity, the church, the capacity to love, and we are commanded to cultivate that love and to display it in our unity. Within our unity, within the way that we see each other, love each other, people must be able to say that these people are of God. God has given us that capacity. So, dis is so sleg. God has given every one of us the ability to love the way he loves. Because did you see that? Flat that scripture again. From the beginning, that scripture, it's John 17. Can we all stand and read it with me, please? 1, 2, 3. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Did you see it? That love is in you. If you said yes to Jesus and you spend time with him, that love is in you. So he's given you the ability to love the way he loves. Did you see it there now? You can sit. Thank you. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? So, because of that, the Apostle Paul says, last scripture, Galatians chapter 6 verse 10, watch what the Apostle Paul says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The first thing that he says, we must do good to everybody, but we must do good especially to the people in church. I said it out to all believers. So the Apostle Paul also says that, and that is what I want to get right. That is what I'm trusting God to do with us in a church community. I was saying to the intercessors the other day, Serena there, she's a pharmacist. If she decides to open up her own pharmacy, then everybody in church goes to her pharmacy. Period. Because that's the way Jesus sees the love. But this thing that we so divided, you know, we don't even scream for the bokke. We divided, we scream for another team. It's bad. It's ungodly. It's not of the Lord. If you're a child of Christ, how will you ever be part of this nation if your heart lies with another nation? You'll never be a son in this land, in this country. Now the same with the church. We'll rather go to the friend there and talk to that friend there, but we won't talk to the friend here who has the same business. Have you seen how these guys, Muslims and all those guys, do business? I told the guys the other day, they always tell you, look here, I don't have that tech here, but I know of a shop. Just go to that shop there in that street. When you get there, you think it's the same guy or what? Then it's his cousin or someone, you know. Hulle operate so in mekaar. Hulle is connected. But you know, within the church, we divide it. In the church, we are divided. And I'm not trying to be rude or ugly here. I'm just saying that there's a love principle that we're missing. The church, we're missing it. And so everybody mocks God's church. Because for 1 second, we can't stand together and love one another. Almal in die Christen koninkryk wil sy eie dingetjie doen. Wys vir my huwelik waar elkeen sy eie ding wil doen wat gaan werk. It will never work. If both are Christian, I can tell you that. One is going to wound the other one into submission. Because simple, it's the clash of two kingdoms. So there's a loyalty that God expects when it comes to love for one another and for loving the church. And I really have a problem with it if people cannot stand up for that which is biblical, that which is God. In a mature and wise way of doing. So next time when we're going to do stuff together, we're going to do it out of the love principle. Like this thing of the children's church. Ach, is 'n kinderkerk ding. Ach, tog nie weer klein plaasie nie. Ach, wat het het. Stop that. Support. It's a one another thing. Jy het miskien nie nou kinders nie, maar oor 'n paar jaar gaan jy kinders hê. Daar was 'n goedjie vir jou kinders ook aangekoop. Within the spirit. Ons sien mos hoe in die spirit. We know about your husband. We know. We know about your wife. Jy sal wie oor die koppe nie. Hy is te vinnig. You know. But that's what I'm just saying. We need to support one another, guys. It's a love principle. Now Jesus says if you get that right, then people will see, these are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this time, a lot of people just say the church are hooligans. There's a lot of church splits. Die een plant 'n kerk hier en hy kry 'n gier. Die een preek vir 7 mense elke week in sy huis. Elke week preek hy, maar hy het 'n kerk en hy's 'n apostel. Jy moet vir hom apostel noem. Daar sit ek daar en dink ek, my liewe land, gaan die koninkryk nou vir 7 mense wat hulle selfs die jakens en apostel noem, wat sit 'n koffiesuip in 'n voorhuis nou skrik. Die duiwel lag ons uit. You know why? Because we're not a united loving front that makes war out of love. We divided fools that doesn't understand the principle of doing good first to the household of faith. So I'm a bit upset now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm upset because we don't support each other enough. It upsets me. And I want us to get this right. And I've asked God, God, you must show me how we're going to do this. Remember, initiation of the love. You make the first move. Other people can't make the first move. You must make the first move. I must make the first move. So, let's just see what it says. This evening, I want us to break the inability to do good. There's an inability inside of us to do good. There's this inability in South Africa. When the Stormers pray the Crusaders at Newlands, then there's a lot of guys that screams for the Crusaders. I don't understand it. I also did it. I had it ook gedoen before I knew the Lord, but now I know the Lord and I have the Holy Spirit convicting me. The Holy Spirit is convicting me of where my loyalty lies when it comes to my nation. I need to pray for this nation as a pastor. But now I can't pray for this nation as a pastor if I don't believe in this nation's sport or education system or the medical world. I must pray for that. I must trust God. I must believe that. So, we must become pure vessels of love. And we must become conduits of God's love. So, do you know why it's difficult to love people? The first reason why it is difficult to love people is because you have been hurt by people that you've loved. Jy sukkel om na ander mense lief te hê want jy seer gemaak deur ander mense vir wie jy lief was. This is for the married couples. You're a wife. And you're so frustrated, you're always asking God, why doesn't he understand what I'm saying, God? Here, help for me. Die man hoor nie vir my nie. Hy wil sy eie ding, hy verstaan nie, Here, wat ek vir hom sê nie. I'm talking about married couples now, who's Christians. This is for you. Then there's the husband. God, she doesn't honor me. God doesn't feel that she's respecting me. Can I give you the solution? Can I give you the solution? The solution is simple. You better get honest about this and you better start telling God, God, I don't know how to love my wife. And you better start saying, God, I don't know how to love my husband. Otherwise, you're never going to get this right. You're going to play marriage. Net soos die kerkie speel. As klom kerke wat kerkie speel. Hoe's kerkie Sondag? En as dit weer week. En as dit weer kerkie Sondag. But the church doesn't make a difference in the whole world. You know. So, for the married couples, you got to ask God, you got to tell God, I don't know how to love my wife. Show me. I'm going to spend time with you so that you can show me what I need to do. For the wives, the same thing. Are you with me? For those that cannot love other people in church, you got to tell God, God, I can't love other people. You must help me to love them. God, I've been backstabbed. I've been hurt. I've been double-crossed. God, my parents divorced. They've just hurt me. And I hate it. And God, as soon as I must love other people, this hatred just comes up in me and I can't get this right. I want to get this right. You got to be honest with that. You're going to be honest and say, God, there's so many sins in my life. There's things that I do whenever I watch pornography. It just drives me away from people. It isolates me. And then I hate everybody around me. And I want to get rid of this. God, something happened to my dad. Something happened to my sister. And it just hurts the hell out of me, God. And I can't love people because this thing is just blocking the love. And then God must deal with it. I can't. I can only support you. But I can't bring the comfort and the word of truth that will break through. Are you with me with where I'm going? That is why we are struggling to do good. That is why we are struggling to love one another. Because there's a lot of stuff we're not honest about. If you're not going to get honest in these last days, the devil is going to take you out. That is why most of you struggle to initiate love. And if you do initiate love, you only initiate love with those that you connect with spiritually. You know why? Because somehow you just connect with one another. You know why? Because there's a spiritual connection. You don't even know it. Jy weet nie as jy in die gees is, jylle connect nie, maar jylle word so aangetrek na mekaar toe, want jylle het dieselfde seer. You connect with people with the same pain, and then you talk about the same pain, and then you are buddies. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to connect with people with other types of pains. God wants you to connect with people that can tell you, look, that is not right, and then you can tell them that is right. That's what God wants. Are you with me? That is what God wants to deliver His church from. So that we can believe in one another. So that we can trust one another. So that we can pray for one another. So that the world can see, they are my disciples. That is why Jesus wanted that. Only if we get that right, then we can go to the book of Acts. Where we talk about people bringing property. I'll talk about that at a later stage. Now people's love for one another and love for the kingdom is sorted out. Now they bring property. They bring money to the church. They just say, look here, I need help. I want help. That is why a lot of people don't help in church. Because they're angry, they're hurt, and they're offended. And so when we've sorted out that type of love, when Ananias and Sapphira lies, they drop dead. You know why? Can I tell you why? It never made sense to me. The Holy Spirit honors that type of love. So if you come to disrupt that love, the Holy Spirit will sort you out. You will sort you out. Because that type of love is precious to God. That type of love is the love that made all the disciples die for the cause of the kingdom. That type of love will make you sit in your knees like Stephen and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing and they're throwing you with stones. I'm talking about that love. Now, God can give us that love. He said so. That ability is within us. My question this evening, do you want to love people like that? Do you want to love your husband like that? Do you want to love your wife like that? It's possible. Then let's get honest this evening. Let's get real. That's the real Jesus. That's the real gospel. Jesus het nooit kom voorgee of voorstelletjies kom maak of so nie. He was real from the beginning. He said, Peter, you're going to follow me. Peter, I'm going to walk around with you. And Peter, can I just tell you, you're not going to die a beautiful death. But you're going to die. But it's okay, Peter, I've prayed for you. Jesus was real. Now that's a homie. Want to know how a homie looks? Look at Jesus. Not 50 cents or what? A half cent or what? What's yours now? 30 cents. You know? These rap stars that so many people just making icons. That is not it. The real Jesus. The real love. That thing when God speaks to you and you do it to your wife and you can just see in your wife's eyes, this thing really took her by surprise and it's of the Lord. And it's that love like that. You must want to love like that. En as jy daar sit vanaand en jy dink, nie vir my forceer nie, then you must also say that to God. God, at this stage, I don't feel like loving like that. Well, then that's fine. It's your prerogative. I can't force you. I can't beg you. There's nothing that I can do. But can we just be honest for where we're going in these last days? Only relationships like that are the relationships that will stand. There's too much backstabbing. I see it in families. Backstabbing in families. Family feuds. Family quarrels. Church splits. Oof, dis bitter, julle, dis bitter. Dis bitter. Because there's not a genuine love. And all that God wants us to come to that place where we love one another as He has loved us. And all He wants us is just to say, I can't do it, God. Weet julle hoe moeilik is om vir my lief te wees? Vraag vir Elmer die agterna. I'm going to say in English, do you know how difficult it is to love me? Just ask my wife how difficult it is to love me. She'll tell you. Yeah. But you know what, can I tell you about her? The way that she prays for me. The way that she talks to me. And I can just see this, she must have heard from God. You know when Almi speaks to me and she says something and it just hits me. Then I just know she must have heard this from God, because it hits exactly at that soft spot. That thing that I thought about last night, which hurts me so much. And then she just says it. And then I know she spent time with the Lord on my behalf. It's a way that she loves me. Now that's special. Now I'll fight for that. But we can talk, we can also talk about one another. When I have a conversation with Jan, or I hug one of these sisters here and I talk with them, and I just see God's love in them, and this is the way that we reflect it to one another, and there's just those smiles, and then you just know this thing is of the Lord. So there's a lot of pride that I'm preaching against tonight, because there's a lot of pride that needs to drop. As a klomp trots, I'm sensing it. Ek voel hy resistance so. And I can see it in people's faces. I can see it in people's faces. You wonder for my sin. And in naam van Jesus, I can tell you, you're not doing it in the name of Jesus. You're doing it in another name. But don't use the name in Jesus for that, you know. So, do you want to love like that? That is the question. We're going to sing, "There is None Like You." And we're going to put our hearts open to God and all that I want you. If you want to love like that, then you must come. Because I want God to break this thing. And all the backstabbing, die rugstekere en achteraf, hy goed wat jy so seer gemaakt het. Jy moet hy goed nou na die Here te bring, jylle hoor. Van weet jylle wat, ons het allemaal nodig wat hier sit. We need everybody. All the backstabbing, all those things that hurt you, all the things that makes it difficult for you to love, I want you to come, and we're going to trust God just to break through it. Even in marriage, if you don't see eye to eye on so many things, bring it to the Lord, please. That is the way God loves. Even when we are unlovable, He still loves us. When we are unfaithful, He stays faithful. He wants to help you. Just get rid of the pride. Get rid of it and come and say, God, help me. I want to love my wife the way you love her. I want to love my brother the way you love my brother. That is what I'm asking of the church this evening. Because from here on, we're going to trust God that everybody in church is going to operate in that way. So that people can see that we are His disciples. We're not going to play church anymore. If we want to play church, then each and every one of us can plant our own church and have church somewhere. But not here. I want the pure love of God that will separate us indefinitely from any and every other religion that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the love principle. Because God so loved the world that He gave. From that position He gave. He gave His best. His Yachid. His Isaac. His only son. That's what He gave. And He wants us to love like that. And the first thing that we just need to do is say, God, I can't love like that. Obviously. And then if I would hear you pray that, I would say, duh, what did you think? Obviously we can't. We must come to the Lord Jesus Christ so that He can pour that love inside of us. But do you want to love like that? Do you want to love like that? Or don't you?